Well, it's great to be back after a couple of weeks, which for me, I don't think it was really all that much of a holiday, but maybe got one or two days off in there. But just before the break, I was giving a talk in a church. I was away on a college mission, and it was a talk from the New Testament. And in the course of the talk, I decided that I would give an explanation of a particular Greek word in the passage. I was passionate about it. I preached it like there was no tomorrow. Excuse me for saying this, but I spoke with authority. I spoke with clarity and I spoke with conviction. There was even some humour in it. Yep, I thought, the congregation is now educated about the meaning of that Greek word. And that in turn would make them educated about the meaning of the passage, and they would be moved. I was kind of proud in a humble sort of way. Then after the sermon, I realised that not only were there two ministers, both with PhDs, but there was also a New Testament Theological College lecturer, also with a PhD, and two Bible translators, one of whom was fluent in 14 languages, and the other was fluent in only four or five. It would have been probably less humiliating trying to give a neurosurgeon advice on removing a brain tumour. Which reminds me about a party I was once at. Just kidding. I wouldn't do anything that foolish. Well, when we come to Psalm 8, it's a bit like meeting greatness after you've just been carrying on like you're the greatest. Meeting greatness after you've just been carrying on like you're the greatest. Yet it's so much more than that, because while I felt humbled after my huge indiscretion, I can't say that I felt elevated to praise and motivated in my dignity to burst forth and praise my critics. Yet here in Psalm 8, as King David meets greatness, which is the glory of God, he can't help but praise God, as well as be profoundly humbled by God's greatness, and as he realises the dignity that God has given to all of humanity. Do you know, friends, that right here, right now, we are in the presence of God's glory, God's greatness. We're in the presence of God's greatness, God's glory, 24/7. His greatness in the created order, all around us, the sun, the moon, the stars, the air that we breathe, the grass that we walk on, the birds that we hear singing. Our very bodies are a sign of his glory and his greatness. The intricacies of the human body, our brains, our hearts, our lungs, all functioning together to make us who we are. But not just that, because God has something so much more profound, which gives us meaning and purpose and really is what makes us who we are. Yet, you know, as I was putting this talk together, I thought, so often the things that I think and the things that I say, the things that I do, show me up to be a complete fool. Like the one who tries to tell a specialist how to do their job. The sin of pride is what I'm talking about, friends. And if you're honest, you'll have to admit that it affects you too. The sin of pride. Now, when you hear the word preached, either here or at church, do you spend more time thinking about how you can critique the speaker or how you can submit to the word of God? All too often, to my shame, when I'm hearing someone else preach, I'm thinking, I don't know if I agree with that. I wouldn't put it exactly like that. Yeah, I don't really like their communication style. It's pride in my very self that wants to stand in judgment of someone else who's bringing me the word of God, when all the time I should be seeking to submit to that very word. Well, I hope that you and me alike today will be open to submitting to Scripture. So let's pray. Father, forgive us for our pride. Help us to submit to your word and be moved to praise and humility as we see your glory and realize the dignity that you've given to each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world where having a PhD is seen as a ticket that leads to greatness. But like so much of God's truth, the worldly way is here in this psalm turned upside down. For it's not education or fame or money that leads to glory, but rather glory that leads to a PhD of an entirely different kind that's of infinite worth in God's eyes. The first P in the PhD is praise, and Psalm 8 is the first hymn of praise in the Psalms. We can see the praise begin in this Song of David in the first verse. Praise that comes as he confronts God's glory. Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So on earth and in heaven, God's glory abounds. And David can't help but praise God because of his glory. Verse 2 shows the glory of God on the earth in his plans to overcome his enemies. And it's somehow in the silencing of God's enemies through the praise that he ordains from infants that we see God's glory as well. The point is that out of the weakest, most insignificant people of the ancient world, children, God is able to come his enemies. And that's the reason behind God ordaining the praise from children. He does it so that his enemies will be silenced. Now, I really tried to think long and hard about what this was saying and what its historical background was. But in the end, I thought it's a bit hard to know exactly what David meant when he wrote this psalm. Yet there is another place where this verse is quoted in the Bible. In Matthew 21, after Jesus had driven out the money changers in the temple and was healing the disabled people, the religious leaders were indignant because the children were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" So in Jesus' day, as children were shouting out this Aramaic expression of praise, don't worry, I won't be trying to give you any lessons in Aramaic, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were taking exception to it. So Jesus quoted this verse to them, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise." Can you see what Jesus was doing? He was pronouncing judgment on his enemies, the religious hypocrites, the leaders who were standing against him and against God's will. From the mouth of babes, God was silencing his enemies. As the children praised Jesus, the fulfillment of this psalm was taking place, for it was part of God's plan. His plan to use the weakest, most insignificant in society, to shut the enemies, to silence their mouths, and to render them irrelevant. Do you think that God can use you best in his service because of your intelligence? Because of your giftedness? Because of your ability to speak? Or your ability to express an opinion? Your cleverness? Brothers and sisters, God doesn't use us because of our abilities or what we can give him. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. 1 Corinthians makes that clear. God uses us by his grace. He can use any means he wants to achieve his purposes. But yet God chooses to use you and I to work alongside him, to share the great news of his Son, and to show the love of Christ to others by grace. Not because of your intelligence, not because of your funniness, your humour, your strength, your articulate ways of speaking, your cleverness in debate and argument, but by grace. And his grace is seen in his glory. His grace is seen in his glory. And the glory of God all around King David moves him to praise God. Yet how often does praise of God characterize yours or my speech? If you were to take a survey of the content of your speech in the last week, how much of it would be characterized by praising God? I think I'd be ashamed if I thought about it for myself. Could it be the reason that we don't praise God is because we're so focused on our own glory? So focused on our own glory that we rarely consider God's glory. A proud heart is concerned about looking good, about perhaps even doing things that seem to be godly, so that others will think better of us, so that we'll be esteemed. But while ever we do that, friends, we will never praise God or be humble before him. And that leads us on to the H of the PhD. In verses 3 to 4, humility is the H. And notice it's a small H. That's because being humble is about being small. Being small before God. Being small before others. Considering others better than yourself. Is that something that you regularly do? What about when you're expressing your opinions? When you disagree with someone? It's the opposite of pride. And that's what David sings about in verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Being humble, dear friends, is about recognizing our true state. Our true state before God and before his glory. What are we that God should consider us? Think about who you are as I think about who I am. What are we that God should consider us? Yet all too often I find myself reversing that very statement. Who is God that he should be mindful, that we should be mindful of him, or that I should be mindful of him? Who is God? I'm doing God a favor. I mean, you guys really need my leadership. You need my great preaching. Thanks for the humour, Paul. And it deserves a laugh. It's laughable to think that I should somehow esteem myself and think myself so good that I'm indispensable. That's laughable. God can use the very stones to speak his word. God has spoken through a donkey. God doesn't really need me, but by grace he uses me. We love to think of ourselves as indispensable because our opinions are gold, our comments are authoritative, and our leadership is worth following. But think about it from a purely statistical point of view. Think about yourself. One person amongst 80 in this room. In your course. One person amongst 100 or 200, or maybe more. In the uni, one amongst 1,000 or thousands. In the city, in the state, the nation, in the world. And think about our world. It's small compared to all the other planets in our solar system, let alone the galaxy. The galaxy is all around us. Brothers and sisters, the H of the God-given PhD is humility. And when we realize our smallness before the glory of God, we should be humbled. Humility is a God-given gift. You won't get that from the world. The most important is you, is what they say. Please yourself is what the ads keep bombarding us with. The only way that you and I will be truly humble is when we realize our state before God. For the glory of God humbles us, not like the humility and the humiliation I experienced in the presence of great scholars, but the kind of humility that looks to God and realizes the God-given age. What will it take for you to be humble? What will it take for you to value others greater than yourself? Only a sober look at our smallness before God will give us the ability to be humble before Him and humble before others. In a world that tells us we should be anything but humble, we should be proud, we should be self-sufficient, we should be assertive and demand our rights. No, friends, only knowing our true state before God will make us humble. And it doesn't end there. And this is the great difference between my humiliation and being humble before God. For God has given us great dignity. That's the D of the PhD. And in the final verses, David sings of the dignity that God gives to humanity in creation. And in verses 5 to 8, he looks back to Genesis and the authority God gave humanity to rule. It was there that God made man and woman in his own image, in the sense that he made them a little lower than the heavenly beings. The point is that in creation, God gave humanity an incredible dignity. As they reflected his image to rule, as they did it together in relationship. That reflected the very Trinity, ruling together in relationship. Yet you and I know what happened. That was tragically lost in the fall. Human sin entered the world as the proud fruit of rejecting God's authority was consumed. In the fall, we lost our God-given dignity. We lost it as we clung to our proud self-sufficiency, our godless ways, shaking our fist at God, thinking that we knew better. Pride itself. Yet by God's grace, in spite of the terrible chaos and disorder from the fall, he still preserved human dignity, though it's tragically flawed. And that brokenness is what the scriptures look forward to with anticipation, and this psalm too looks forward to it, as we're reminded of the gap between the original dignity that this psalm seems to praise and the all too often shame and incapacity that we show as we continue to stuff up our lives, to stuff up our societies, and to make a mess of the world. Adam's sin brought about what would have been a never-ending cycle, for through his disobedience the many were made sinners, yet through another man's obedience the many were made righteous. That's Romans 5. The gift of God is not like the trespass. If the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Through Adam, all died. But through our gracious Lord Jesus, the many have been made alive. And you and I are part of that many, dear brothers and sisters. What a wonderful, gracious gift our Lord has done in redeeming creation, redeeming our humanity, giving us the dignity that was lost. Hebrews 2 also shows us the fulfillment of Psalm 8 when it says, "At present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." That's our Lord Jesus, friends, who has redeemed us from the curse of brokenness, from the curse of humanity in the fall. For God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Ephesians 1:22. The Lord Jesus is the man who reorders and redeems our creation and our dignity, the man who is God. He redeems us, and he reorders our lives as we follow him. Don't ever be deluded by thinking that yours or my worth comes from a strong, assertive leadership, from our abilities, our opinions, our giftedness, or from others valuing what we do. No, friends. Our dignity comes from the worth that God has given us in Christ. So do you know that right here, right now, that God's majesty, his glory, is all around you? Do you know that? His glory is all around you. It's all around you in the created order. It's all around you in your body, in your mind, and in the brother or sister who's sitting next to you. And not only is his glory all around, but it's also within us. Because as followers of the Lord Jesus, don't ever forget that we have his glory by his indwelling spirit. The glory of God within us, convicting us, shaping us, growing us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus himself. Don't ever forget that we're in the presence of glory every single moment of the day. Not just around us, but within us. But the question is, do you really want to know that? Because to know that is to make us humble. And humility goes against the very grain of our proud human natures. But to be constantly aware of God's majesty, his very glory shown in creation, and our Lord Jesus, not only humbles us, but also redeems our dignity. For our Lord won back the dignity that we lost. He was the perfect Adam who reordered our disorder, who healed our brokenness, and who died our death so that we could live his life. That motivates us to nothing less than praise, dear brothers and sisters. For the glory of God in Christ moves us to praise him. The majesty of God shown in the ultimate Son of Man turns us away from pride and inspires humility. And the grace of God gives us such a dignity because of who he has made us in Christ and who he is making us in Christ. That is the glory of a God-given PhD. So don't be a fool like me in the presence of great scholars. Look to God's glory in Christ, all around us and within us. Know the dignity that he has won for you, and so be moved to praise and humility, praise that sings, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you will forgive us for our pride. Help move us to praise you and to renewed humility as we again confront your glory all around us and within us by your Spirit as we follow the Lord Jesus. Please help us realize the dignity you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.